in permaculture design, we talk about how we observe natural systems. Okay. Now, what is a natural system? What I'm asking you is, tell me some ecosystems. Tell me some ecosystems that are around the world, in the world.
High desert.
The high desert? You mean like a short grass prairie, or even tall grass prairie? Dry lands, high deserts. So, no, that's fine. But I'm trying to paint a picture. I want everybody to imagine these areas. Okay. Somebody has said some other ecosystem.
Coastal scrub.
Okay, sort of like a coastal chaparral or hard chaparral system. So plenty of air moisture certain times of the years. The plants have evolved to have sort of a fire response even. So they're remineralized through lightning. So they have a real interaction of the environment that way, right? A little bit different than the high desert. Okay, what else? Another ecosystem.
Riparian woodland.
Okay, so a riparian corridor through a woodland. It could be a mixed conifer forest. It could be a hardwood forest, but sort of with a water, freshwater influence. So then you could just imagine, you could almost smell the birds and the river and all the little things that are crawling up and down these corridors, these riparian corridors. What else? Another ecosystem in the world.
Northwest temperate rainforest.
Okay, very good. So, you know, a boreal rainforest, giant, you know, where the diversity is in the soil and the mass is collected in species, you know, giant trees, 200 inches of rain, okay? It's so much life in the soil, right? That there's just a few things that pop out of the soil that are the trees and the, you know, who is it? Michael Crowfoot talks about trees being merely the photosynthetic appendages of the real life in the soil. He's talking about boreal forests. Okay. What else? Other ecosystems. Ecosystems, please.
Everglades.
So kind of swamp, super saturated mangroves. The kinds of things that co-evolve with mangroves are almost all, it's like the nursery for the planet. There's so much life in a mangrove swamp or in an estuary system where there's saltwater marine with a freshwater influence. Probably the most diverse systems on the planet. Really, really important for nurseries of lots and lots of species. I forget the number, like a gazillion, I think. Pretty sure it's right around give or take a bazillion or a half. Yeah. Okay. Give me another ecosystem. Any ecosystem.
Tundra.
Okay, so it's like permafrost, right? Very little soil activity, but there's actually, in some of those areas, there's really tiny, tiny willow trees. They look like they're really far away, but they actually only grow this tall. They're like moss almost, right? So what am I trying to get you to do here? I'm trying to get you to think of how different the planet is. Everywhere. It's so different. It's so beautiful in that sense that everything is amazingly different. Okay? And we're going to come back to these differences in a minute, but everything is so amazingly different. The richness of biodiversity, right? It just like, it could make you cry. It's so incredibly diverse. There's so many differences in things around the planet. Yet, commonalities do exist. And it's those commonalities is where permaculture design derives its principles of design. Okay? In every ecosystem, from the poles to the equator, Every ecosystem that we described, all the vast differences in the ecosystems, they all have commonalities. They have all have commonalities like you were describing a second ago. Okay, the principles of permaculture design are derived from those commonalities. And I call them the indicators of sustainability. These have to be present when you're working, when you're making decisions. They become our filters for designing things. Indicators of sustainability. Things like everything multitasks. Okay? We could go to one of those systems, the tundra, to the high desert, to the marine estuaries. We look at anything in the system. Any one element in that system is doing many, many things. Okay? Those are the commonalities that we're going to translate to be our guiding principles of design. Okay? Another thing that's always present in every ecosystem is not only does every element have multiple functions, there's multiple, or every element has multiple functions, there's multiple elements for every function. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
We'll edit it later to be really good. Yeah.
Could you do it one more time?
I wish I could. That was hard enough. Yeah, yeah. Multiple elements for every function, for single functions is the way
that it goes. Yeah, okay. Yes.
Okay, and then the first one was multiple functions for every element.
Right.
Okay, so it's kind of the same, only different. Okay. So, what is that really telling us? Multiple elements for single functions. What is that really telling us? What does that sort of spell out? Backup systems. Okay, some kind of redundancy in the system that's different, but serves the same function. Well, you were talking about the rainforest or something up here. Let's go up to the Puget Sound. Okay, or across the sound to the Olympic Peninsula, right? What if a tree falls? What decomposer is out there that will do most of the work for us?
Mushrooms.
Yeah, mycelium and funguses will go in there and start to take apart all those lignins and start moving wood into usable soil, transferring it from one energy form to another. Okay, why is it funguses that are doing that? Why is that? Because the conditions are that it's ideal for funguses to perform.
They're kind of symbiotic. I mean, like the mushrooms breathe air, the plants breathe carbon dioxide.
Okay,
they fit together
based on like a give and take kind of situation.
Like the broader scheme, like there's endomorphic, mycorrhizal, ectomorphic.
In association with roots of plants. Yes, absolutely. So, but the conditions there are ideally suited for funguses to take a major part of that role of decomposition. Okay, just to make a simple kind of analogy, let's jump to the dry lands. Let's jump to the high desert. Okay. A tree falls, is it funguses that primarily do the job there? No. Why? Because it's not ideally suited for those funguses. We could impose funguses and then through external energy make them work, right? Put them in a big biosphere or bogosphere thing, add moisture, squirt in water, do all this stuff. Turn up the dial, you know, all of those bells and whistles. We could do that for sure. It probably has a green label on it too.
There's probably some that we're not aware of.
Okay, but dig this. No, we're totally aware of it. We're totally aware of it. And you'll think of it in a second. Okay, in the desert, it hits the ground. What's the major thing that's going to come over there and decompose it?
The sun is really
active. Okay. But there's some other stuff. Termites, beetles, ants, okay? So why? Because it's ideally suited for termites, beetles, and ants, okay? ideally suited. It's dry. There's plenty of wood. There's all this stuff that's rolling on the ground there. Matt?
We've got fire as well.
Yeah, fire. Excellent, excellent. To recover some of the lost minerals through ash, right? So some of the plants have co-evolved to get their nutrients from fire and ash, right? Okay, so those are some examples of the commonalities in all of these things. You see how that was an example of multiple elements for that function of decomposition. Yeah. So those are the kinds of things that we work with in permaculture design. Okay. Another aspect of permaculture design is watching energy flows through the system. Okay, watching energy flows through the system. When sunlight hits a forest, what happens to the sunlight?
It's filtered.
It's filtered. What happens during that filtering from the edge of sun to shade or solar to polar? What happens there?
It's reaching different plants. The plants are taking in.
The plants are responding with sugars and photosynthesis, right? So we can follow that energy of the sun and follow its trail, how it's converted to sugars and then to lignins and carbon chains and all that kind of stuff through the forest, all the way to leaf litter, to mycelium. We can watch that whole sort of energy flow going. In permaculture design, what we do is we try to look at those flow patterns and try to understand them and try to reach in and play at different levels where we could get a harvest, a yield, or tweak it a little bit to allow that energy flow to go another direction.